Oftentimes I have heard you speak of one who commits a wrong, as though he were not one of you, but a stranger unto you and an intruder upon your world. But I say that even as the holy and the righteous cannot rise beyond the highest which is in each of you, so the wicked and the weak cannot fall lower than the lowest which is in you also. And as a single leaf turns not yellow, but with the silent knowledge of the whole tree, so the wrongdoer cannot do wrong without the hidden will of you all. Like a procession, you walk together towards your God self. You are the way and the wayfarers. And when one of you falls down, he falls for those behind him, a caution against the stumbling stone. Aye, and he falls for those ahead of him, who though faster and surer of foot, yet remove not the stumbling stone. And this also, though the word lie heavy upon your hearts. The murdered is not unaccountable for his own murder, and the robbed is not blameless in being robbed. The righteous is not innocent of the deeds of the wicked, and the white-handed is not clean in the doings of the felon. Yea, the guilty is oftentimes the victim of the injured, and still more often the condemned is the burden-bearer for the guiltless and unblamed. You cannot separate the just from the unjust, and the good from the wicked. For they stand together before the face of the sun, even as the black thread and the white are woven together. That's from The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. It's one of my favorite books and a book my mother gave me a long time ago. And it is true. You cannot separate those of us who are presumed good and those who are presumed wicked. Because in the end, we're all human beings. We all bleed. We all are born and we die. As you can tell, I've been paying a lot of attention to the doings in Ferguson this week. Or rather, paying attention and then having to kind of hide in my hidey hole to kind of let my brain absorb it all. And the big problem here is we have a very unjust society. And you can try and rationalize it all you want. You know, I'm very comfortable in my suburban town. You know, I know here, unlike when I lived in Oakland, you know, I don't have to worry about my car getting trashed. Well, not very often. It has happened once here in Cupertino. But you know, generally, it's not something I worry about. You know, the most I have to worry about is making sure that, you know, the high school kids aren't being loud during the summer. In Oakland, it was a very different story, a very different place. But even there, I mean, it wasn't an easy place to live. When, especially, I lived over on 59th Street, which is just on the border of Berkeley. And there were gangs there, and I knew they were gangs, and I could see them, and, you know, there was a uniform that they wore as part of who they were. And, you know, there was part of me that, you know, grew up with the, oh, you should probably be scared of them. And then there's the greater part of me that was like, they're just kids. And they're fighting this battle among themselves. And a battle they didn't really have to be in. Because you know what? We created that. We have to take our responsibility for this. Not just me or you, but all of society. Not just black, not just white. Everybody. And yeah, okay, that's a little simplistic. But, you know, we're all complicit in this. And what really sucks, and what really bakes the noodle, is that there's not a lot we can do. It's the system that's broken. And it needs a complete paradigm shift. And I know this is going to bum people out and depress people. Because it depresses me all the time. Well, not all the time, but a good deal of the time. You know, I'm a compassionate person. I want to see people live happy lives. you know, live to see those happy lives. We, you know, they're kids. Black kids getting killed in the street for no other reason than being black. You know, I see it in my own town. You know, there are people there are plenty of people in Cupertino that are pulled over for because they're driving while black or brown or some other color other than white. We have to grow up as a society. We think that we're getting into some enlightened phase and because of the internet or whatever. But we have to grow up. We have to realize, you know, maybe what people are telling us isn't true. Maybe what people have been telling us since we were little isn't true. I've always had to live with the fact that people consider me stupid and lazy because I'm a fat woman. Yet I know that's not true. And what's really hard about that is that it's hard to stop those tapes. You know, I grew up with a certain amount of racism. I grew up in New Hampshire. I grew up with a certain amount of learned racism. I trained myself to say, can I consider that person a person instead of a black person? Do I have to qualify that? And it's not that I'm being colorblind here. It's if I were to talk about a white person, would I say I am talking about a white person? And that blew my mind when I first realized that. I was like, oh, you know, I could say that man who is a big man. Now, you would know if I was talking about a white person or a black person, right? And I can talk about people as people. Why do I need to qualify that? But I also have to recognize that they are a black person or a Indian person or a Native American, etc. Because that is the history. And I have to acknowledge that and respect it. And respect their stories and respect their lives. So it's complicated to talk about this, you know? Because I am a white person and, you know, I'm keep trying to recognize my own privilege and to make sure that I listen to stories and that I acknowledge stories and that I support where I can. And it's hard to know that sometimes there's nothing I can do because I'm either too far away or there's just nothing I can do. And that sucks. And then it comes back around again that this system has been going on for so long and it's bigger than us. And the only thing I can really do is try and make parts of the system better. You know, utilize what I can from my position and my privilege to make lives a little better. And that sucks too. Because, you know, I would like to wave a magic wand and change the entire system. I would like to wave a magic wand and make the Ferguson Police Department a different place where this never happened. But I don't have that magic wand. I have prayer. I have some magic of my own. But, you know, even that magic takes time to build and succeed. But yet, it's still hard to figure out just what to do. I mean, sometimes it feels like all I can do is just sit and listen to the stories and be a witness. Sometimes it seems like all I can do is to just treat other people as humanly and as kindly as possible. And sometimes, you know, it's talking about it and making other people who are the same skin color as me recognize their privilege. Recognize what they're saying is pretty stupid or racist or both, or all of it. We get so bent out of shape over the dumbest things in this world. And like the passage I read, they're us, we're you, you know? We all exist in the eyes of spirit. As, you know, I've done so much magical work where I've asked deity, you know, what about race? What about gender? What about this, that, the other human things that we think about? And they don't care. They're like, are you being good to each other? Are you doing the work? Are you helping each other? And it just seems so simple when, you know, you're in that space with deity and they're saying that. And you're like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? Wow, that just is so much easier. And then you come back to Earth and it's such a bummer. You can't really fathom why people are doing it. You know, I'm a biochemist. I was a biochemist for quite a while. I did my undergrad in biochemistry and I studied genetics. And you know what? The only difference between me and anybody else of any other ethnicity is maybe a few base pairs in the DNA ladder. Just that's it. It's like a fraction of a percent. And yet we're going to war over this bullshit? And excuse my language, but this is bullshit. We are humanity. We're supposed to be getting better than this. We're supposed to be expending our knowledge and learning new things. And yet we keep doing the same old crap every single time. Look at Israel, right? Same thing. Hurt people, hurt people. That's what Bishop Flender says in her sermons. And you know what? It's really true. Really true. And it just keeps on going in these cycles. And we just can't seem to break free of them. You know, people get these very narrow ideas of what reality is and what the world is in their heads. And they just can't seem to let it go. To be more open-minded, to realize that the world is much bigger. And God is much bigger, and life is much bigger than we give it credit for. I really pray that maybe what's happening in Ferguson will change things. But it's also scary to contemplate, because it could change things in a violent way. It could change things in a scary, warlike way. And, you know, I really pray for peace every single time I see something. Because it's not easy to watch and to know that we did this to ourselves. You know? I weep for our country. I really do. I really weep for everybody who has been hurt, tear gas, shot. Because it's not necessary. It doesn't need to happen. It never needed to happen. Not in the 60s, not in the 1800s, not ever. None of this needed to happen. But, you know, our human ignorance and white superiority and all that bullshit is really gonna be our downfall. And now I'm sounding like the doomsayer, and, well, maybe it just needs to be said. Maybe that's why Spirit wanted me to talk about this tonight. God, I hope and I pray that we'll get through somehow, that this world will become a better place. I know I have a vision of a better world. You know, I've seen a beautiful vision, and I wish it would come true. But reality makes it really difficult to see the beautiful vision. It really makes it hard to have hope sometimes. Especially when you're reading, you know, Facebook and seeing all the coverage and seeing just the stupidity of the police and the militarization of the police. It's a hard, hard road we have right now. And we need to fix it. And yet, it just seems almost impossible to fix without something radically different happening. I just pray to God that it's peaceful. And that's my thoughts for tonight. I guess that's about it, because, you know, there's really not much more to say, really. So I hope you all pray. And those with you children, hug your children tight. I know I'm going to give my wife quite a few hugs as well in the next few days. And I will light candles and incense and send as many prayers as I can, because that's all I can really do right now. And hopefully one day we'll get it right. Thanks for listening. And you can go to thisweekinheresy.com for, you know, subscribing and all that. And you know what to do. May you have a blessed week.